welcome back to the Super Rugby Podcast with your host, Damien Warren and...
Toby Harris.
Mate, it is... Wow. Can I just say, this week...
we're already laughing. It's going to be a good one.
This week, there's been a lot going on.
But
Izzy Dagg retiring.
God.
We've had some amazing matches taking place.
We've had some fantastic matches.
And another Izzy...
Hasn't been doing so well.
He's had a bit of a shocker. Let's just say he's had a bit of a shocker. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
What the outcome will be, yeah.
But anyway, no, we can't pause.
We cannot dwell on what's happened thus far.
We've got to move on. So first up, our favourite, we talk about this, we look forward to this, is the listeners' questions. And I've got some Bobby Dazzlers for you today. First up is Michael Nixon from Sydney.
Oh, there you go. Waratah fan, maybe.
Possibly. Dear Damien and Toby, I love Super Rugby.
Can I just stop you there? But why is your name always first?
Well, I think it's because I start the show first each time.
I don't like that. I'm going on strike.
Can I go on? Dear Damien and Toby, I love Super Rugby, but worry that those South Africans are going to up and leave at any moment. How do you grow Super Rugby to increase revenue for all the teams and players?
Why South Africa? Why are they going to get up and go?
Well, the time zone's very close to the UK time zone.
You know, the Kings and all that sort of thing, and Cheetahs, they're in that league, aren't they? They're in that European League.
So they're dipping their toe in now.
Yeah.
I think it's probably really more just to sort of flex their muscles.
It's good for South African rugby, though. Not always playing in, you know, the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, but at some point they're going to have to make their decision on which one they're going to go for. I think they're flexing their muscles by playing in the European League to say we want a bigger slice of the cake reality.
I do like cake, Damien. I do like cake.
We both love a bit of cake, mate. Anyway, I've had some thoughts about this. The first thing that comes to mind is for years and years, Super Rugby has been trying to bring teams to emerging markets, right? So, you know, they've gone Japan and they've gone the Sunwolves.
But they're getting rid of the Sunwolves now.
I know. But they've done this for years. They've gone Jaguares.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
they've floated the Polynesian, the Samoan league, but there's no money in it for them, so they've gone there. I think they actually need to rethink, and they need to start thinking about taking the rugby, the current teams, to the emerging markets. So playing some games in America.
Well, they are doing that, aren't they?
Not really. I mean, you think, you know, when we had the earthquakes in Christchurch.
Oh, no, they were looking at playing in different parts of Asia, weren't they? I think there's Singapore or something.
They play
like
some test matches Hong Kong, there, but they're not playing many of the Super Rugby matches there.
No.
They need to take the Super Rugby teams to America, to Asia, to England. When they played at Twickenham, I think it was the Sharks versus the Crusaders.
Yeah, that's right.
It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the first point. Take the teams there rather than giving them a team.
Take the teams to the growing countries. Absolutely. Where else in Europe? It's still to come, but potentially still to come. Why don't we go to the smaller parts of Europe? You know, Italy, Germany, Romania, just to sort of open up that rugby cocoon.
It's the money, mate.
I know. But
you're not going to make any money taking it to you need to get into. If you can get into America and you can get people wanting to watch rugby in America, then you're going to make truckloads of money. If you can get people watching the matches in the UK more and more and more, you're going to make truckloads of money.
Well, it is on Sky Sports, so there is that want to be able to watch the Super Rugby.
There is otherwise the want, they but wouldn't obviously have it. They're not getting the revenues that they would from, you know, if it was more popular. So that's the first thing.
This is a hard question.
It's an easy question, mate. Next thing for me is extended highlights. So in all these countries.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
So rather than playing the whole game, just give them a 50-minute or a 60-minute highlights package so that they can watch numerous games rather than just one-off games.
Yeah, because, you know, in the morning now when we watch it, it's a two-hour game pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, and unless you're a real rugby, you know,
a rugby bum,
a rugby head, you might watch one game, but you're not going to go and watch two, three, four, five, or six games, mate.
We are.
So extended highlights packages in all these countries. And then one of the last things is full stadiums. You have got to make it look visually fantastic.
Yeah.
And at the moment, well, it's not looking great, is it?
It's not looking good at all. Not looking good at all, which is disappointing, though. And you went back with your family a year ago, or not even that, and the tickets are tuppence, aren't they?
The tickets weren't expensive, but you did get a terrible viewing, you know, angle. So you're right behind the uprights.
Right.
So
okay.
they were like, it was amazing. The ticket prices were absolutely amazing. It was like £10 for an adult.
Yeah.
I think it was, $10 for an adult.
So five-ish quid.
Yeah. And $6 for a kid, which is unbelievable. But when I inquired about sitting in the main stand...
How much is that?
You know, like $70.
Is that $70?
$70. So it's still not horrific. But,
no, but it's a lot.
But it seems a lot. So
especially if you want to go week in, week out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Season ticket holders, you know, they need to sort those types of things. But for me, it's got to be a loss leader. Fill your stadiums. If you have to play in smaller stadiums, do it. Because visually, it's got to look like...
It's,
you know,
packed out.
It's
people
packed
want
out.
To watch it.
People want to watch it. Yeah. And therefore, then you get that feeling when you're watching TV. And the last thing for me is camera angles. Man, what annoys me, isn't it? It's like in on the action and not actually out enough. So you can't actually see the game.
Yeah, but it's the same in football.
Correct. Same in football, yeah. If you think NFL, I'm thinking NFL. I'm thinking Premiership. The NFL haven't, you know, given teams, emerging markets, a team, but they've just made it really accessible to watch and support. If Premiership, you know, there's so many supporters of Manchester United who have never ever been to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
But, you know, would almost die for their Premiership team.
Would they go to New Trafford?
It's so bad. And the last thing, I've mentioned the last thing a few times.
That's such a good thing for me.
It's terrible for you, mate. Laws of the game need to be possibly tweaked and changed so that it's more clear, or it's clearer, should I use the correct English? What is he being penalised for? What is there a free kick? Because at the moment, he sort of does some dance move on the pitch, mate.
But that's almost down to the commentators, isn't it? Shouldn't the commentators be... Because the commentators are there.
But I don't think the commentators actually know what the referee's actually saying.
Well, when it comes to scrum, I don't think anyone knows.
Well, that's a good example. So sort of look at that
and maybe have that
come up on the screen or whatever. Are you ready for the next question?
Well, if it's as long as that one, no.
It's from Jessica Warren from Harrogate.
Jessica Warren.
Dear Daddy... So if you haven't guessed already, this is my daughter, and she's a big Super Rugby fan as well. She said, Dear Daddy and Toby, is girls rugby as good as men's? And if not, why? P.S. Toby's the best.
I quite like Jessica. Is women's rugby better?
No, or as good. It's not. It's not being around the bush. But it's not as good, mate.
No, it's not as good because it's not as fast. It's not as physical from a male's point of view. And the hard thing is, it's like watching women fight. I find it very scary.
I know.
Women shouldn't do that.
I think it's simple, right? It's simple.
But women, I enjoy watching women's rugby. I would rather watch a men's game than a women's game.
Okay, so I'm getting onto detail why. All right, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go why. Sevens. Women's sevens is almost as good in my opinion.
I agree.
These are the reasons why it's as good. Because the skill level is the same. The pace of the game is about the same. You don't know the male sevens players like household names, but you don't know the female sevens players by household names.
Yeah.
So it's very, very similar. Here's the problem. When it goes to 15s, there's not enough girls playing rugby. So therefore, the skill level drops, the intensity levels drop because you're having to possibly rely on some players that wouldn't make the team. You know, there is, I don't know what the stats are, but there's vastly more men playing rugby than there is female. So therefore, the quality or the standard goes down. Whereas in sevens, it's not such an issue. And the last thing is, in the 15s game, we know all the big players. We look forward to seeing Ma Nonu strut out there. But we don't have that.
Well, it's because it's not publicised.
It's not publicised. It's not on TV. No. So that's what you've got to do, don't you?
Which
you've got to put
shame.
It on TV.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Are you going to fund it? And that's the problem, isn't it? There's, they're saying there's not enough money in it. Whereas the sevens game, next year, they're going to have, I think, three or five, I can't remember exactly, of the sevens comps are going to be dual girls and
boys. Oh, really?
Yep. Which is a massive step forward.
So playing each other? Got you there, didn't I? Oh, he's going to ask a good question.
I don't know how they're going to run it because it's going to take twice as long. Potentially to get the games through.
Start earlier, finish later.
Absolutely. So, you know, good value for money from your ticket price.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not there yet, but I do think it is improving.
It is improving, yeah. Definitely
and
is.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Let's hope that at some point we can get to a sort of a bit like the tennis, where females' tennis is as watched as male tennis, which would be really good. But it's not really the only sport, isn't it? I can't think of another sport where, you know, both girls and boys play to the same level, the same standard, and as well supported as tennis is. Last question. This is a big one from Phil Stevenson from Cape Town. Dear Toby and Damien.
I literally just put that in.
I don't know. No. Good old Phil. He's a big fan of yours, obviously. I don't like him. when a player leaves the field with a head knock, what happens off the field?
I have done I've got a certificate anyway, an online certificate for this, but I don't actually know what happens closed doors.
I've done the research, mate. I've done the research. So there is a really simple process, and it's a lot more simple than actually I ever thought it would have been at international rugby level, because we know we're coaches, we coach our teams, we've done our concussion protocol.
Yeah,
it's virtually the same.
Oh, right, okay.
So are they showing signs of concussion? If they are showing signs of concussion that the doctor can see,
right,
then he'll say you're concussed. Yeah, there's I think there's 11 signs of concussion. From balance problems,
dizziness, to headache.
That's not one of the 11, I don't believe, but noticeable signs where they lose balance or they walk in the wrong direction or whatever. If they have any of those, they're off the pitch.
Right, okay.
They don't do any more assessment. They're deemed to be concussed, okay?
Okay.
The next bit is when the doctor comes on. The doctor will then ask what they call Maddox questions. Okay, and this is really simple. Like, I'll give you, so what day is it today, Tobes?
It's Sunday today.
It's Sunday. Yeah. And then they might ask you, who are you playing today? Well, you're not playing anyone.
No.
But they'd ask questions like that. What's the score? Who scored last? As in, which team scored last? Okay. If they fail on that, slow to respond, they're concussed. If they pass those questions, they walk down the tunnel. You know when they walk down that tunnel and they sort of go into the ether under the stadiums? Well, there's normally a video box there, and it's called the head box. Believe it or not, right? And the doctor will stand there with the player and they'll watch back the actual tackle or the...
Oh, right, the scenario or the scene.
Yeah, and the bits that lead directly post the head knock.
Okay.
And again, if he notices anything, he'll say you're concussed. But if they pass that, then they walk down the tunnel and into the changing area or the match day doctor's area, okay? So there'll be let's say the Blues were playing the Chiefs, the Blues doctor will be there and there'll be an independent doctor that joins them and they'll do the actual test now. So on pre-season, they've done a whole, you know, done all these tests and they baseline test them. And what they've got to do is got to get as good or better results on the day to pass the test. And the test is really simple. So there's a memory, a recall, a balance test, and then just some basic questions about how you feel and stuff. So just give you an example of the memory. This is really hard. They have to remember 5 words in order of sequence, and they've got to do it, I think, 3 times. So if I just gave you 3 words, because I know you might struggle, like cake, hammer, car.
Okay, cake, hammer, car.
Right, so I might add another couple. Cake, hammer, car, screwdriver, door.
Cake, hammer, car, screwdriver, door.
Okay, now say it again.
Cake, hammer, car, screwdriver, door.
Well done, one more time.
Cake, hammer, car, screwdriver, door.
Excellent, so you would pass that.
Oh, I can go play again. But what I have read, actually, is that they're trialling a green card in South Africa, where the referee, if he sees a player in who has or maybe showing the signs of concussion or being knocked out or something like that, he can show the green card to that player, and then the medics can come on. But normally the medics just run on, don't they?
Yeah.
Or do the medics sort of stop?
No.
You know, they go to the referee and they like, oh, I need to take my man off.
No, the medics normally run out and you see them tap their head.
Yeah.
And that's telling the referee, we're going to do a head assessment on this guy. It's actually, the referee at any point can actually stop a player from playing.
Yeah.
So if even now, he doesn't need a green card, but I think the green card's to show the fans probably what he's doing.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
To say, look, I think this guy's injured, so I'm going to ask him to go. Because, you know, there's 40,000 people there. If the referee says you're off, some people might think, well, what's he being put off for?
Yeah.
The last part, wait for this one, mate, is they've got to remember 6 numbers, okay? Well, they've got to remember them backwards.
Oh, God.
So let me give you this one.
Oh, please don't.
So just go 1, 3, 5, 6, 10. Say them backwards.
10, 6, 5, 3, 1.
Okay. So then
no, that's enough.
Yeah. So Luke. They can do this up to 6 numbers. They start with 1,
really?
3 numbers, and that can be any numbers. And they've got to do this. So baseline testing. The next bit goes on, they've got a 3-meter walk test.
Right. Do they just have to walk on a line? Or
walk in a straight line, yeah. Head to toe to...
Toe to heel, head to toe.
That's it, mate. That's it. And then the last one is they've got to answer some questions, which is like, you know, after all that, they go, do you feel unwell? Yes, I do. Oh, you failed.
I could have told you that at the start.
But I was really surprised. There's other things. There's they have to get reassessed. Obviously during the match.
Yeah.
After the match, and after 2 nights sleep, as well. And there's a couple of things that they're working on. They're working on a saliva test, which would be fantastic, because if you can get a saliva test saying you're concussed, that can roll into junior rugby, senior rugby, all sorts of rugby.
That'd be good.
And there's a visual test that they can do as well that they're trialling at the moment as well. So those are a couple of more tools. But very interesting, because I kind of presume they went down the tunnel and they did something on a computer.
Oh, a computer?
Yeah, you know, like
I thought it was literally just ask them a few questions. Follow my finger, can you put your hand on your nose and your belly button or something like that? Oh, you'd be right. Get back out there.
No, I thought, you know, with all this money that's rolling around, they would have come up with something a bit better than that. But, I mean, it's almost exactly what we do on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That is the end of the listeners' questions.
God, that was long,
eh?
They're
tough, eh?
Yeah.
They're tough questions.
Good
this
questions.
Week. So up next, mate, is our review of the weekend's matches.
So the first game, Damien, was a South Island derby, wasn't it? Crusaders Highlanders, shaped up to be an absolute humdinger.
And it started really, really well for the Highlanders.
It did.
And actually got through to half time really, really fantastic. Ben Smith, 150 games and scoring an absolute fantastic try to
no
start.
No one else could have scored that.
He wasn't.
I might have been able to, but you, I don't think you could have.
Mate, I could hardly watch someone scoring it, let alone even think about scoring it. But it was just one of those games where, like you said last week, the Crusaders added another gear. They just let go with their bench.
They did, yeah.
And
they ran away with it, didn't they?
They did run away with it. So a couple of the statistics that I've got here. Clean breaks. Crusaders 22 clean breaks against 10 from the Highlanders.
Which is surprising, though, because normally the Highlanders are very good, aren't they?
They
are missing some of their key players.
They are. Offloads, I've got 18 offloads to 9, so doubling the offloads. And the big one, the absolute killer, was turnovers conceded. Highlanders 22 to the Crusaders 11.
Yeah.
The only stat that really was a little bit worrying for me for the Crusaders was 18
saw
penalties.
That too. Yeah. It's the same as last week, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Penalty count was high, and they haven't really had such a good season on that. Discipline, you think?
Discipline is a real issue. Yeah. Mate, a couple of things, and you'll love this. I've got a Quadzilla.
Oh, Mwanga.
No. Ooh. No. It's Josh. I can squat for days. I own him.
He has got some huge thighs, hasn't he?
When I watched that, I thought of you.
Crush a coconut, those bad boys.
Absolutely. And I thought, what a pass Siviris is to Mitch Drummond at the end of the game.
Pass it into space.
He ran, didn't he? He just took that line, took out two players, offloaded.
Yeah.
I mean, there was lots to talk about in this game.
He played well, actually, didn't he?
Rich Mwanga played fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
I just think it was one of those, it'd be mentioned, Jordan Tafua comes on, does a job. Mitch Drummond comes on, does a job.
Good player, actually.
I think the midfield worked really, really well.
Yeah.
It's just one of those. We're not going to dwell on that game for too long because we've got...
Oh.
Arguably the best game or the best half of rugby I've ever seen at Super Rugby level.
And that's the Chiefs versus the Blues. Now this, I tell you what, this also shaped up to be such a good game.
And it delivered.
It was, right now, down to the last
Now
whistle.
Listeners, if you have not seen this game, I'm not going to say watch the whole game, but watch the second half. What an amazing game of rugby.
Yeah. He was. Ma'anonu didn't really show up first half.
No, everyone was talking about, you know, obviously he hasn't been selected for the All Blacks squad, Anton Leonard-Brown, and Anton Leonard-Brown was absolutely amazing.
Oh, he was outstanding.
I think he was amazing in the game in general.
Yeah, he's been playing well this whole season, though.
As I say, lost a bit of timber, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's playing well. He's good everywhere. He's good on the ground.
Good defensively.
Well, until Ma'anonu trucked him in the second half.
God.
I mean, that was impressive.
Me, oh my, oh boy.
Boomfa. Things that I got down here, mate, was I think the Blues got off to a slow start and they were lucky to score that 80-meter try just before half time. The second half.
Good team try, though.
Very good. Akita Ione.
How?
I mean, he had a really average first half.
A great game all over.
I think he played much better in the second half. He did some things that no one else can do.
That's true, yeah.
Like that pick up off the back of the scrum,
run
40 metres offload, those types of things. I just thought that old Steve Hansen was sitting in the crowd and he was like, oh, yes, I've got my selection policy right. That's Ma'anonu out, Anton Leonard-Brown in.
Yeah.
And then the second half happened and he kind of scrubbed out a few things, and I think he might need to rethink Ma'anonu not being in his 41-man squad.
A stat here that I've got is tackles. 189 for the Chiefs and 80 to the Blues. That shows you something, though, eh? That the Blues were attack, attack, attack. But I don't think they were attacking in the red zone that much.
The Blues...
You know, they were forcing the Chiefs to tackle from their 22, or sort of halfway or even 10-metre line, to the Chiefs' 22 in that sort of middle of the park.
Yeah, and also the Blues, you look at how many carries they had. So they had 619 carries to 374. That just means they're just smashing it up. And they are big boys, aren't they?
Oh, they are big boys.
I'm going to look into this, but I think they're the biggest team in Super Rugby. I wouldn't be surprised if they're the heaviest pack.
Yeah. Well, and Patrick Tuipulotu, he is a mountain.
He is absolutely
the long-haired Ginger Robinson.
The ninja.
Yeah.
Don't call him that.
Ninja.
Bit of respect.
He's a big fella too, isn't he?
He is a big fella. There's lots of big fellas there. So they like to smash it up.
Yeah.
But defenders beaten, 38 defenders beaten for the Blues, 22 for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs, you know, 33-29 was the score in this game, and it went down to literally the last play. The Blues had it. They were going forward, and then they knocked it on.
Yeah, typical. Can I also say, while Hansen was, you know, sitting having his hot chocolate up in the stands, the number three halfback is playing for the Chiefs, and he can't even start.
Yeah.
Number three, All Blacks.
I think it's a massive issue.
I don't get why he's in the All Blacks, though, if he can't even make the starting lineup.
Bryn Hall is playing unbelievable rugby.
Yeah.
And he's not in the 41-man squad.
No. And he's not really starting either.
I'm just like...
Yeah.
The thing with Bryn Hall, though, is Bryn Hall... He's always played that way, that Mitch Drummond and him swap around. So he started on Saturday. But he's unbelievable.
No, Brim Hall has been playing well, yeah.
And I'm like, he played well all last year.
Yeah.
He's played really, really well this year. And you need to get him in your team. I don't understand it.
No.
I think Steve Hansen has possibly not lost it. I'm not saying he's lost it. But I think he lost a bit of his nerve not to bring in some new blood into that squad. Because by bringing new blood, you're going to keep all the older guys honest.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to work really hard. Whereas just keeping the same squad from last year, I don't think that's positive. But anyway, he's a brighter man than me. It's not difficult, mate.
He's the coach of the All Blacks, mate. We're not.
So it's an awesome game of rugby. How did I only score that try as well? How did he get the ball down?
I think there was a magnet in the ball and a magnet in the corner.
That's the only way to describe it. So two tries from Manonu, both very, very good tries, well taken. Antonina Plown played really, really well. The other one, mate, for me was when I was watching this game, Black.
Orton Black.
Yeah, he reminded me at times of Dan Carter. And look, Dan Carter was a lot better player. But where they're similar is he's so calm with ball in hand.
Yeah.
He just looks like it's too easy.
Very nonchalant.
Nonchalant, yeah, big word.
It is,
big word. So, did the Chiefs deserve to win? I would say
Probably, yeah. The Blues just made too many mistakes.
They made too many errors, and they had too many turnovers. If we look at the turnovers, it's 6-2. So, the Blues lost six occasions on the ground.
Yeah.
And I felt that when I was watching it, they were a little bit slow to rucks at times. They got their act together a little bit towards the second half, but 6-2 was a real key difference in the stats.
Mate, next game, Sharks versus the Jaguars.
We completely and utterly mucked this up in our predictions, and I don't think anyone would have said the Jaguars were going to do this, but the Jaguars. This is what we expected from them at the start of the season, and now they're starting to deliver offloads. Pablo Montero, what a player. Possibly, arguably, massive call, best player in the world at the moment. And you're looking at me like, what have you drunk tonight, Damien? The only other thing I mentioned about this when I was watching it was terrible crowd. Terrible crowd.
Well, it's at Kings Park Stadium, isn't it? So it's huge.
It's huge. But come on, put everyone down on the bottom.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that, though. They do it at every stadium.
You know, it was cheap seats, isn't it? Oh, they've paid cheap, so they've got to sit way up there. But it just looked awful. Visually looked awful. But what an amazing match. They thoroughly deserved it. Here are some differences in defence, mate. We've got the Sharks making 84 tackles. And the Jaguars making 161, so double the tackles. But wait for this one. Tackles missed. Out of the 84, they missed 17 tackles.
17.
Yeah, and the Jaguars missed 22. So all the stats are basically saying that the Jaguars should have lost, apart from Rucks lost, The Sharks lost 10 rucks and the Jaguars none.
None. That's fantastic, isn't it?
And 11 penalties to 3. Those are the only things that we can possibly...
But then you look at the meters carried, you know, going along with you. 516 to the Sharks, 335 to the Jaguars. How did they not win?
Yeah, but you got to think how the Sharks play. Again, they play that direct...
Bully. Carries 141 to 85.
Yeah.
But the Jaguars play that bullying game as well, don't they? They're a big pack.
Not in this game. They played a very expansive game.
Yeah.
And the offloads, mate. The offloads were the difference. Big time. Big time. And I just think they did have some absolutely wonderful moments in this game. So what do you say more than the Sharks have been really inconsistent and arguably that showed through in their defensive structures.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jaguars gobbled the Sharks up.
the only thing I worry about when you do all these ridiculous comments is there's many, many weeks left and you're just
absolutely. I'm going to run out of them soon, eh? Going to run out of them soon.
Next game up, mate, was the Rebels versus the Stormers. The Rebels went down 24-41 and a little bit, it's very even this game on all the stats.
But half time, it was only 10-3 to the Stormers. You know, it was still close. It was still really, really close.
The Stormers took their opportunities. I put a few things down for this game. Reece Hodge, probably the most overrated player I've ever seen, but he delivers. The guy delivers. He keeps scoring tries. He's like one of those guys, ugly but effective. And I don't mean he's ugly.
Do you think he's attractive?
Well,
I am partial.
Ask Izzy Flower that question.
Ooh, like also, Quade Cooper, mixed bag.
Oh, yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Real mixed bag.
I put down here, the Quade Cooper fans of the world were loving him and hating him in equal measure in this match. He did some wonderful, wonderful things, but he did some village things, Tobes.
Yeah.
And defense is the best form of attack on this. And you saw that from the Stormers. The Rebels had all the ball, all the opportunities. But when the Stormers got it, they took their opportunities. And it was the conversion between being on attack and defense where the Rebels were really poor.
Yeah.
Their first try that the Stormers got, Dylan, I can't pronounce his last name. Lades, yeah. It was the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
They went from attack to a turnover. He went straight through the gap. And that happened on numerous times in this match.
Well, I've got here Rucks 1, Rebels 103 to the Stormers 37.
Yeah.
So the Stormers were keeping the ball in hand wherever possible.
Well, no, the Stormers didn't have the ball in reality, but when they had it, they made full use of it.
Yeah.
And they scored every opportunity they had.
Right, next game. Got the Brumbies versus the Lions. Now, the Brumbies kicked the Lions in the face, didn't they, really? I've got here meters carried, even Steven. You know, there was only about 30 meters in it. 428 to 457. So it was very close in that aspect. Carries, similar again.
The Brumbies being at home made a big difference. Yeah. The Lions started really well. They started kicking into the corners. You could almost tell they were going to go drive them all, score. And I kind of thought, here we go, they're going to suffocate the Brumbies. But really, when you look at everything in hand, it was a really even match. But the Brumbies, at key moments, were just more clinical than the Lions in this game. And
said in other matches, they took their opportunities.
Absolutely, took their opportunities. But
hooves.
This game was just like, it was a little bit of a, no, I don't even want to know.
Well, four hooves.
This game for me was one of those where I had it on the background.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot going on.
No. It was a bit of a boring game.
Are we a boring? I suppose you needed to be either a Lions fan or a Brumbies fan.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Stormers fan over the weekend, you literally got on your bike, mate, as you said, and went home because they were awful again.
Yeah.
But if you're a Lions fan or a Brumbies fan, I don't think you went away from this game saying it was a fantastic match to watch. The Brumbies take any win they can get right now.
Well, they would,
This is their third win of the Comm, and if they had lost this one, it was not going to look good for them.
Mains would have been chopped off, mate. Final game, Bulls versus the Reds.
32-17 to the Bulls. Yep. I just feel like the Reds, we've mentioned this before, I think they've got a decent group of players, but key positions, they are really, really struggling.
Their team is a bit hit and miss. No depth.
No 10.
No. No real 9 either, eh?
No, and it's really, really showing. I think that the Bulls have got a decent squad as well. You know, they actually play with some nice, they play some nice rugby.
Pollard played really well, didn't he?
Pollard is playing very, very...
Did you see, I read recently that he's been offered to go to France for million euros.
I thought you were going to say he got a Weller Woman hair contract. A million quid.
Yeah. To go play in Le Francais.
Do you reckon we could be his agents and take 10%?
Or 100 grand wouldn't be bad, eh? Wouldn't be bad. Just another game where if it was on in the background, you'd be enjoying it, but you almost wouldn't sit down to watch the whole, you know, the whole game.
No. A few good moments from the Reds towards the end of the game. I think Karevi.
Yeah, Karevi, he plays
he's
well.
He's a good
though.
Player, isn't he?
Yeah.
The interesting question is, if you're the Australian, you know, coach selectors, who's your back line?
Oh, well, you'd have to go 9-10, easy.
Well, you say that, mate. What are you saying? You're saying Will Guinea?
Yeah, Will
Guinea. I think that
and
one.
Craig Cooper at 10.
See, I love Quade Cooper,
yeah,
but after
you were
seeing him
singing his praises,
no,
you can't back him off or change your mind off one game.
I would say for me, Quade Cooper's in your squad, and
who would you put at 10?
Foley.
He's having such a poor season.
No, he's come good. He's come good. It's like
from one game, mate.
No, hey, listen.
You're just like Frosties, but without the sugar.
Let me ask
you
a question.
You've got Frosties on the bread, and it's
let
just
me ask you a question.
Flaky as
let
hell.
Let me ask you a question, right, before you keep going on and on.
It's
who was the top point
Frosties.
Scorer last year?
Foley, we know that.
So therefore, he is a good player. He's been a good player for the last 3 years. He's been good at play for the last 4 years since the last World Cup. He is, we could say, class is permanent, form is temporary. He's had a bad start to the season.
That is a saying and a half, isn't it? Which Google site did you get that off? Bloody hell.
So he's class.
Yeah.
So he's had a bad start. He's come right. He's more reliable than Quade, but Quade, when he comes on, will change the game.
He's exciting, isn't he? Yeah.
He's an exciting player. So therefore, you bring him on when everyone's a bit tired, he's going to rip it up.
Yeah, true.
So you pick your team according to your opposition.
Yeah.
And I think if you start Quade, again, a little bit like Sonny Bill, they can sort that out. They can pre-plan. They can do all those types of things. But if you bring him on, that's much, much more difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Foley. Who do you play at 12? Who do you play at 13? I think the Aussies have got a good group of players. They've got lots of people that you can put in there. Adam Ashley Cooper's in there. They've been playing him at 13.
Mate, we're going off topic.
We're not. We're on topic, mate. This is just, there's no topic. I'm trying to say that I think the Aussies have got a good squad to choose from.
I think they've got a good squad, yeah.
The big problem they've got is arguably, if Folau's not going to play, if he's been binned off, he's just come out today saying he's going to put his religion first, his beliefs first over rugby, which possibly means that...
Mate, we all know what your religion is. Rugby.
So what do they do back at 15? I think it was quite a smart move from Israel Folau, because if they bin him off now, arguably he's saying, well, it's my religion. Yeah. You're binning me off because of my religion. That's also, I mean, let's not get into too much detail there, but.
Yeah. Anyway, mate.
Can of worms, eh?
Can of worms. So our next segment is our predictions.
Yes.
Now.
Which we've been very consistent until
last week,
and then
dire,
we've absolutely
it?
Had a shocker.
Shocker, right, mate? First game, Chiefs are at home to the Lions.
Wow, yeah, the Lions are looking down the barrel of three losses in a row.
Yeah,
the Chiefs have been playing much, much better.
I'm going to guess say Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say Chiefs. I'm going to say Chiefs, but there's a little part of me that's thinking, will the Lions step
three
up?
Three in a row, yeah. Will they lose three in a row?
I don't think they will lose three in a row, but I want them to lose three in a row, so I'm going to go the Chiefs.
Good man, good man. Now we've got the Sunwolves against the Hurricanes. Sunwolves are at home. Hurricanes have just come off a week's break.
Oh, mate, Hurricanes for me.
Yeah,
Hurricanes. Although some Wolves could surprise, but I can't see it happening. Because some Wolves have got a week. They've had a week's break as well. So they're both.
They're both on
the same footing there, mate.
Then we've got the Sharks versus the Reds. Sharks are at home. Now, I think the Sharks need to bounce back. Don't they?
Understatement of the year. But the Reds need to, I mean.
They also have got a point to prove.
Hey, going back to who's going to come last in that conference, you've got to have your money on the Reds now, don't you? Are the Reds going to overcome the Sunwolves?
It's open. It's all open. I've got the.
I still think the Sunwolves will come last in the end, but the Reds need to find a 9 and 10 from somewhere.
Well, the Sunwolves are last at the moment, and they'll probably stay there. But Brumbies are on 15 points, and the Reds are on 14. It's all close, though, but then the Waratahs are on 16. Although they're a game behind.
The Waratahs, mate. Again, we go. What we keep moving back to the old Izzy. If he's not playing, it changes their outlook, considerably.
Yeah. Now, Saturday's games, we've got the... God, this is an absolute rip-snorter. Got the Highlanders versus the Blues. Highlanders at home.
Wow, that's a massive match. Massive
for
match.
For both teams, though, isn't it? For both teams.
I'm going to go the Blues. I think the Blues will have, and I said this last time, and I was almost correct, too much off the bench. They came into that second half quite strongly, but the... So therefore, I'm going to say the Blues just going to nick it from the Highlanders.
I want the Highlanders to win, but I also want the Blues to win. But I don't want it to be a bloody draw. I'm going to call it even. I think there's going to be a draw.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, mate. Go on. Let's move on. Move on.
Then we've got the Waratahs versus the Rebels. Waratahs at home. They're fresh off a week off as well.
Every reporter is going to be asking them, what's the crack with Israel Folau? Yeah. So I'm going to say that's going to play against the Waratahs. The Rebels
have a point to prove as well, coming
will
up a loss.
Win. The Rebels will win.
Yeah. Stormers, Brumbies.
Wow. You can't pick that one, can you, really?
No. I think the Brumbies are going to win it.
Away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go Brumbies.
Oh.
I'll go Brumbies as well.
That's nice.
Have we agreed on everything? So, Chiefs we agree on.
Yeah.
Hurricanes we agree on.
Yeah.
Sharks.
I went for the Sharks.
Highlanders, Blues. I said the Blues. You said the Highlanders.
I said the draw.
Oh, you said draw. Well, I'm going to win that one, aren't I? okay, so we agree on most things anyway.
God, that's good. That's good.
So that wraps up our predictions. Next up, mate, is the quiz questions.
Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to this one.
So, Toby, today, some of my questions have come from one of our biggest sort of Super Rugby fans, Darren Wipett. So thank you, Darren, for those. I'm looking forward to seeing Toby's responses. I am going to take the Bulls by the horns. Oh. You like that?
Didn't like that.
I'm going to go first is what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to let you get a little run on me like you have done in the last few weeks. Oh. I'm going to have a run on you, my big man.
He's scared.
I'm running scared. Okay. Question number one for you. Toves, Super Rugby started with 12 teams.
Yep.
At its peak, how many teams were in the competition? A, 16. B, 17. C, 18. Or D, 19.
Oh. So I thought the answer would have been 15.
Well, it's not.
No, we know that now. Okay, so 5 teams in New Zealand.
This is really going to test your maths here, isn't it?
This is, yeah. I'm even going to write it down now, you dick.
Shall I give you some more names?
Yes,
The Western Force.
Yeah, got that one.
The Cheetahs.
Yeah, Kings.
The Kings, yeah.
Yeah.
All of those teams were once part of the competition.
Yeah, but were they, listen.
Other names, Jaguars, the Southern Kings.
Southern Kings?
Yeah, the Sun Wolves, you've got the Melbourne Rebels, all of these teams were part of it. So
16.
You think A, 16?
Yes.
You are incorrect. 18 teams, mate.
18.
I'm going to go through them here.
I never thought that the Jaguars and Sun Wolves overlapped with the
Western
Force.
Okay, so I'm going to go through them. You got the Reds, you got the Brumbies, you got the Waratahs, you got the Blues, you got the Chiefs, the Highlanders, the Crusaders, the Hurricanes, the Bulls, the Northern Transvaal Bulls, the Sharks, the Lions, the Stormers, the Western Force, the Cheetahs.
I'm getting tired.
The Melbourne Rebels, the Jaguares, the Southern Kings, and the Sun Wolves.
Right, okay.
18, mate.
18.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Obviously, it's more than you thought there was.
Oh, a lot more. Okay, so my three questions to you, Damien, are on Israel Dagg.
Retirement.
Okay. Now, we know he's been almost a forced retirement. He's had dodgy knees,
absolute
surgery.
Forced retirement, mate.
He's only 30.
He possibly has the hairline of someone slightly older, but who am I to talk?
He's not a great look, though. This is true.
He's had a bit of work done, I reckon. He's had a bit of work done to that, and I don't blame him.
No.
If I had the money, I'd have a bit of work done on this Barnett here. Anyway, carry on.
That toupee. Right, mate. How many games did Israel Dagg play for the Crusaders?
Oh, here we go. Here's one of your very minimal,
89, 72, 85, or 95.
So just go through those. I got 72, 89.
85 and 95.
So again, the spread is really good for three of the four, isn't it?
So he scored 140 points in these amount of games. Which
72.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, damn it. I thought you banged in 72 because you would have gone, well, put in 72, that's the answer. And then I'll put all the other ones close so that he'll think that it's going to be within those.
Double bluffed you.
You double bluffed me.
89.
So the 89.
Yeah. So 140 points in 89 matches.
Which is actually not as many as I would have given him. I would have thought he would have scored more tries. I always thought Izzy D could have been a good kicker as well.
I think he did kick a couple.
He did kick a couple of times and hardly even missed. But we didn't see him kick
consistently. Yeah.
You're next.
It's a good start for us. Zero from one.
Okay, so here we go. Now, when the Super Rugby had 18 teams in it, for how many years did the Super 18 run for? They didn't call it Super 18. They called it Super Rugby because there was so many teams in there, right?
Yeah.
So for how many years did it run? A, 2, B, 3, C, 4, or D, 1?
See, I didn't think they overlapped at all. But now that I've sort of thought about it and listened to you ramble on, I'm not, it's either one or two. Don't look at me like that. I don't think it's one, so I'm going to go two.
You would be correct. It was 2 years, yeah. It was 2016, 2017.
Ooh,
it does annoy me, though. Doesn't it annoy you? They bring teams in.
Yeah.
They get rid of teams.
Well, just got rid of the Sunwolves now as well, haven't they?
You know, it's just, it's not on. It's not cricket, mate.
They're like you. They're a bit flaky. So I'm glad I've got 1 point now.
Now, this is obviously a podcast. They can't see my face right now, but...
Stone cold. So
am I part of the snowflake generation?
Right, mate. This is a good one. Which other New Zealand franchise did Izzy D play for, if any?
Oh, you can't. Highlanders. You can't bang that back in there.
Blues, Chiefs, or the Hurricanes?
I'm pretty sure it's the Chiefs. I'm pretty sure it's the Chiefs. And the only reason why I know this is because I think I did a little bit of research into Izzy D. Because I really like Izzy D. I think he's a legend. And I was surprised to see it was the Chiefs. I think it was the Chiefs. So I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Okay, well, you're wrong.
Oh,
yes. It's the Highlanders.
Oh.
And he made 25 appearances, scoring 133 points.
Oh, I think that's when he first made him into the All Blacks, wasn't it? He was playing for the Highlanders.
Yeah. He scored so many points in so few games.
He was amazing. Remember when he first made the All Blacks? Oh, he was
that first
special.
Match against South Africa. Oh,
that sidestepping jinky thing he did in the corner and he scored.
Oh my God. That was a good finish, yeah. So you've got none right so far.
You're on one.
Thank you. One more than you.
Yes, absolutely. Last question for you, mate. From 2006 to 2010, better known as the Super 14 era, only two teams won the competition. One of those teams was the Crusaders.
Yeah.
They won two titles, 06 and 08. Who was the other team? A, the Brumbies. B, the Bulls. C, the Blues. I ran out of B's. So I mean,
boob.
D, the Sharks. So they won three titles in that period.
That period. Right, okay. So potentially could be the Brumbies. I think the Bulls won their lot a little bit later on. Now, don't look at me like that. Because I think it's the Sharks.
You're going to go for the Sharks?
Yeah.
You are wrong. It was, in fact, the Bulls.
It was the Bulls.
It was the Bulls, yeah. And they won it in 07, 09, and 010. Not 010. In 2010. Well, listen to this, though. In 2009, they won the final against the Chiefs. 61 points to 17 in the final.
Jeez.
Both other finals were pretty close. But they did have Brian Habana, Mornay Stain.
They had a cracking team.
Faf du Plessis, Victor Matfield.
Yeah.
That was their team in 2000. And Danny Russo on the bench. You know, some very, 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 can I say very?
One more time.
Very good players to choose from.
Yeah.
So you have got 1 point with one question to go. Hopefully I can draw. This would be the second loss I would have against you. You've only won one other if you win today.
Right. Izzy D is married to Daisy Dagg.
That sounds horrific, doesn't it? It sounds like something from a comic book.
With two children.
I'm sure she's very good looking, though. Yeah.
Where is his wife from in New Zealand? Wellington? Auckland? Gisborne? Or Nelson?
can I just say, can I repeat, you are a horrible man. How do I know? Who cares where she's from? Who cares? Safety. Who cares, mate? Who cares where she's from?
Well, hey.
I don't care where she's from.
Well,
but
you don't need to care.
I'm going to say here, I'm going to use a little bit of common sense. I'm going to say, well, you mentioned Gisborne. Well, apparently no one good-looking lives in Gisborne.
Whoa.
That's what you've said to me on
that's not very nice.
Yeah. Hey, this is one of those things that only if you're from Gisborne, you can take the mick out of Gisborne, eh? So I'm not going to say Gisborne, but that would... I'm not sure about any of these questions you give me these days. I'm more leaning towards Nelson, because Nelson's on the same island as Christchurch, but with modern technology and planes. And what was it, Wellington, and what was the other?
Auckland. Very broad.
It is very broad. I really don't know. There's terrible links to Nelson, but they do play some of their games. Maybe he shacked up with her on, you know, one of these, then they playing them one of their games and...
shacked up.
In Nelson, it's a massive guess, but and you'll be really pleased to beat me when I say the wrong one. I'm gonna say, I don't want to lose.
Come on, mate.
You said she's good looking. Wellington, good looking ladies in Wellington. Oh, mate, please don't do this to me.
This
Nelson.
Nelson. My God, he's gone and done it. He's lost. It's Gisborne.
No way, it's Gisborne.
She used to, well, she her house where she grew up was just down the road from mine.
Really? Yeah. I'm surprised you hadn't ruined her for life.
I'm sure, well, Izzy Dag has.
Can we just have a massive round of applause to you, Toby, for a fantastic win?
I tell you what.
I really look forward to your questions.
I'm getting used to this winning business. I'm going to keep making these quiz questions absolutely ridiculous.
Anyway, there is a few more things. We did want to just pay tribute to, and I think the questions were, you know, Izzy Dag retiring, living
it's a
legend.
Huge loss. Huge loss for New Zealand rugby, though.
Huge loss for the Crusaders, huge loss for world rugby. I was really hoping he was going to make it to the World Cup, but unluckily not.
Yeah.
But it's been another fantastic, hopefully it's been a fantastic
Super
Rugby.
It's been good for us too. It always is, isn't it?
It always is. There are some new ways of getting hold of us.
Oh, yeah.
Toby, we've got the old Twitter page.
The Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter.
We're on the Facebook.
We're on the Twitter under Super Rugby Podcast.
Yeah.
For at Super Rugby Pod.
Oh, really?
Technology, mate. We've got the email address, which is what?
The Super Rugby Podcast at gmail.com.
And that's it.
Yeah. But I tell you what, we love hearing from you. And just, even if it's just a like on a post or a retweet or something, it actually makes our day.
That's how sad we are. It makes our day. But it's very, very true. So get on the Twitter.
Yeah. Get on the Facebook.
Well, I think Twitter is better because you can communicate with us better.
Okay.
So I'd say Twitter first.
Okay, fine.
Facebook's, we'll get that up and running a bit better as time goes on.
Yeah.
And obviously email, you can't beat a good email. If you want to fax us.
We can't do fax.
We can't do fax. But anything other than that, we're there.
By the way, fax, that's F-A-X, not... You know, not the actual facts, because it's...
Oh. On that note, can I just say, it's been a great pleasure to be in your living rooms or out running with you, or as my kids use this podcast to send them to sleep. hopefully you've had a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Definitely. Signing out.